Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of February 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Check the cash grain market with Ben Pruess out at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. Hear the weather forecast for South America from Ed Keezer and get an update on the Ag Outlook Forum directly from Washington, D.C. Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson has been there this week, and we'll hear from her. Oh, and I'll tell you to dial this number, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support. Just a Friday $5 day, $60 a year. All new friends are welcome right here on Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's check the numbers on this Friday afternoon. Futures in Chicago finished lower in the nearby contract for the March corn, down 4.5 cents, $3.85 at a quarter. The settlement price, May at $3.93, down 4.75, and July at $4.5, down 4.75. December futures, $4.16 and a quarter, 3.5 cents lower. Soy complex bean futures down 8 cents in the March at $9.99 and a quarter. May at $10.25, down 9 cents. In July, soybeans at $10.06, down 8 and a quarter. November beans, $9.80, down 6 and a quarter. The January of next year at $9.85, 6 and a quarter lower. Bean meal at $3.47.50, unchanged. Bean oil at $31.48, down 35 for the day. Soft red winter wheat finished the March contract at $5.10, 17.5 lower. July down 10.25 at $5.11.5. And the hard red in the March at $5.33, down 11.25 cents. From the live cattle futures pit, nearby February at $156.70, finished $2.22.5 lower. The April at $148.52.5, down $2.97.5. March feeder cattle at $199.17.5, down $3.37.5. The April at $198.35, down $3.22.5. And lean hogs for the day at $67.40, finished 35 cents higher. In the April to May at $77.30, up 57 and a half. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. Call right now at 217-244-9455. Just a one-day pledge drive here.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Checking now the outside markets, and they're trading crude oil futures at $50.34 a barrel, down 82 cents. The Arababur wholesale price of gasoline at $1.63.9 is 2.2 of a cent higher for the day. Ethanol at $1.44.5, up 6 tenths of a cent per gallon. And natural gas at $2.95.5, a penny and 2 tenths higher. Diesel fuel at $2.11.8 of a cent, up 12.4 of a cent. The gold futures at $1,204.40 an ounce, finished down $2.80, and the U.S. dollar now at 94.252 is down 0.151 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We're headed to a high of 21 degrees. We'll have snow at a 20% chance, 80% chance of snowfall tonight. That'll come after midnight. Temperatures will rise overnight to 28 degrees by 4 a.m. Winds will be out of the south with 6 to 16 miles an hour, gusting to 24. And then tomorrow, snow mainly before noon, 31 degree high, light and variable winds. They'll turn to the northwest at 5 to 9 in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation tomorrow set at 80%. Tonight, 2 to 4 inches of snow possible. Another 1 to 3 inches possible tomorrow. Mostly cloudy with a low of 15 degrees on Saturday evening. Wind chills between 3 and 13 on a northwest wind at 9 to 13. Sunday, mostly cloudy at a high of 18. And Monday, mostly sunny and cold, the high of just 9 degrees, and back into the deep freeze for Monday night with a 1 below zero temperature.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It is a Friday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On this 20th day of February, we're joined by Mike Zuzula, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Not just too long ago, Mike, a couple of reports came out from USDA. It seems like it's been a big week for USDA, but these are the regular scheduled sorts of things. The cattle on feed numbers were out. What'd they look like?
Well, they looked pretty neutral for the feeder cattle with placement coming in at 89%. That's against expectations for 87% on average, but it was still within the realm of range and trade estimates, Todd. The live cattle, though, probably looking a little bit more negative, not just from the cattle on feed, but also the cold storage. We saw the marketings come in at 91%, very close to the 91.8 average trade guess. And then on the cattle on feed as of February 1, we came in right at 100%, exactly on the numbers with the trade guesses. But we did see the marketings number fall down to one of the lowest levels at 1.63 million head, one of the lowest, if not the lowest, on record for the month of January.
Interesting. And then the cold storage report showed something interesting, too?
Yeah, I'll go with pork first because it was more neutral. We saw pork stocks jump 18% versus last month, but they were still down about 3.6% versus a year ago. Beef stocks, however, not only went up 11% versus last month, they jumped 14% versus a year ago. So this is where I think maybe the distinction between the marketing's figure and the cold storage numbers may make the live cattle a little bit weaker than the feeder cattle, especially given this colder weather may be supporting the feeders a bit more as we get into next week's trade.
Why do you think those numbers look like that for beef today?
I just think it goes back to we're bringing in imported product, and not only is that competing very effectively with the pork, but we're also keeping prices relatively high. And I think this is where both pork and beef, in my opinion, given the production numbers we're seeing and the slaughter levels and weights we're seeing, they just haven't come down at the retail level as fast as they should have. I'm wondering whether because of some of these diseases we've had and some of the culling that we saw about a year ago in the cattle and the diseases in the hogs, whether some of the pork that's been put into cold storage is bought at much higher levels and maybe the retailers and the wholesalers aren't wanting to really back those prices down and take a big loss. So I think that could be part of it as far as why we're seeing such high retail prices still.
Okay, let's turn our attention to the grains and the oil seeds. We'll start in the wheat, where March, down 17 and a half cents, had a rough day and, frankly, a rough week. They had an outside down week in the wheat.
Yeah, almost 4.5% lower in the wheat, and you could really see after the USDA numbers and the export sales numbers came out and the Egyptians canceling not just once for U.S. wheat with money that is being given out on almost a grant-type basis, but they canceled twice in 2 days. And the spread traders really picked up the difference between the corn and wheat fundamentals in the spread trade. And so we saw the wheat-corn spread drop below $1.25. It's heading towards its July 2014 low of $1.15 area. And we also, in the middle of the week, we were able to get up and test a 3 to 4 week high. And by the time we got to today's close, we're nearly 40 cents off that 3 week high and a key technical level tested and failed. So we're looking at a really tough wheat corn spread at this point. March corn stayed, relatively soft, but down only 2 cents on the week. And so the export demand in the corn, the Egyptian cancellations in the wheat, the currency pressure in the wheat, the 2015-2016 carryover expectations in corn versus wheat, the domestic demand that is so strong in corn, both from a feed and ethanol standpoint, and contrast that with the wheat domestic demand. And then finally, we had some improved Southern Plains moisture forecasts on the models both yesterday and today for the hard red wheat belt. So you add all that together, and the trade really played that wheat corn spread hard.
Well, I guess the only thing to do is to wait it out and see what happens. It's kind of like the weather. It'll change eventually, won't it?
Last year at this time, we had a substantial rally in the wheat. It was probably around, if memory serves me, 70 or 75 cents in the middle part of February up into the early part of March. But we got to realize the dollar was also 15% cheaper than it is right now in terms of the index. And so this February base price for corn, for December corn, I think is really being held back by the old crop corn, and that old crop corn really being held back by the wheat market right now. So we hope maybe with a deal done, a four-month extension done with the Europeans and the Greeks, that maybe the euro currency will find a little bit of support, dollar will have a little bit of a sell-off, and maybe we'll come back next week without so much pressure on the trade.
Hey, stay warm out there. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, and please contribute to Will Radio. We need you, and I look forward to seeing you next week, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be seeing you on Wednesday of next week, February the 25th. That is Mike Zuzlo. He's a Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas, reminding you that you should post to us via 217-324-9455 or our willag.org or willpledge.org website. A little financial contribution, just a one-day fun drive here. Remember, we're a partner with you. It's a public-private partnership. We're the public, and you're the private, which is an odd sort of way to put it, but we sure do need your help, don't we, Les Schulte?
We sure do. That's right. Take Mike Zuzulo's advice and keep Will Radio strong here at WILL, 217-244-9455, especially today, the emphasis is on new friends. If you've never made a contribution to WILL before, or maybe it's been a few years since you've been able to fit support for WILL into your budget, now would be a great time to get on board and call 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. We're calling this $5 Friday. You can come on board at just $5 a month. That's a $60 a year contribution. If you do that, we have a group of super friends who have already put together a challenge fund, and they'll match your pledge dollar for dollar. So that $60 pledge becomes a $120 a year contribution today. But so call right now. It's quite a deal. Call 244-9455 or willpledge.org. If you use this service, if you appreciate the information that you get here, support it with a pledge at 217-244-9455.
Again, that number to call is 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to ag programming here at willag.org. It's $5 Friday, $60 for the year. Special for our brand new members. So if you've not given before, today is probably the best day to do it. We're looking for 100 extra folks in the month of February. Let's try to get a whole bunch of ag folks today. Speaking of agricultural folks, several of them, many hundreds, in fact, gathered in Washington, D.C. this week for the 2015 version of the USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum. One of those was Jackie Vake from Stuart Peterson. She's on the line now from D.C. Thanks, Jackie, for taking the time with us. We've seen a great deal of the numbers that came out of the USDA forum, including the supply and demand figures from this morning and yesterday's figures. I'm wondering how things were received and what you found of most interest.
Well, I think that, you know, you had to look at certain things. The carryout for beans is the largest there's ever been on record for a February report. The amount of acres that were projected for being planted this year to eight major crops is the lowest it's been since 2011. And so, you know, you look at the big picture, and it's all going to come down to weather, basically, and they'll admit that. And we're losing over 12% of our cotton acres, of which they are leaving that. The comment that was made was, well, we know that corn and beans will take its place. Okay, so they leave that as a wide open area. And I thought one of the things that was extremely interesting when I went into the 10-year projections was that they're looking at potential for a 104 on the U.S. dollar, in other words, more strengthening on the U.S. dollar against other currencies, but yet that's somewhat being offset by the fact that that they expect prices to be lower. Now, there was a lot of discussion because, you know, Dr. Good came out at 420 with his projection for this year, and USDA has come out at 350. And, you know, the question was, why such a difference? You know, why is it that way? And, you know, they basically said, well, at this stage of the game, it's pretty much any kind of a guess. You could go in between the two and be right. Both could be totally wrong. You know, it just depends upon what's going to happen as we move further into the weather circumstance. One thing on the 10-year projection I thought that was encouraging, we saw that, you know, corn exports will be up from us. On the Brazilian side, bean exports are going to be up dramatically. We had a speaker on beans and on Brazil and talked about how the infrastructure is improving so much down there and how their potential is so very high. And they expect that Brazil is going to be the number one exporter of not only the bean market, but also in the meat market coming down the road. And they're going to be the top in a number of other categories, too. And so, you know, a lot was talked about the competition and what's going to happen from the competition. And I think perhaps that blends right over to what they're going on with these trade agreements. There's two different trade agreements that are being negotiated at the moment that could make a big difference for us as U.S. farmers. Right now, in some products, we charge a 5.3% tariff for them to bring it into us. They turn around and charge us 30% to take it to their country. Or they negotiate with other countries outside of us, and we're kind of being left in the dirt is basically what's happening. And so they're working really hard to get these Trans-Pacific, and then there's another one called TTIP, and to get these going, and they'd like to see them, you know, enacted. But they've got lots of different challenges. At the congressional level, there's no guidance as to how the implementation actually takes place. So they're also trying to negotiate that with the government because that has not been renegotiated, I think, since, 1974, I believe is what she said. And so it just shows how many different facets there are that impact the actual price that our farmers get.
That, of course, is Jackie Vakes. Thanks, Jackie, for joining us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Jackie is at the Ag Forum in Washington, D.C. this week. You can hear more from her on our website at willag.org. And while you're there, you might go ahead and hit the donate button next to that hashtag 100. It would be a really good idea, Les Schulte, because we're looking for 100 new friends, people who've not ever given to our radio station before, to join us in the month of February. And on this day, it's $5 Friday.
Yeah, we're putting a little extra push on today to get those friends in. So we're making it $5 Friday. If you can set aside $5 a month for the agricultural news and information and the entertainment and the world news that you get here on WILL, that would be a great starting point for new friends to come on board at 217-244-9455. Or as Todd said, just go to willag.org, and there is a little donate button up there. You can hit that. It's quick. It's easy. It doesn't take very long. And you'll be doing a lot to help support the services that you depend on here at AM 580. The number to call is 217-244-9455 or willag.org. Of course, if you want to donate more, that's terrific. Maybe you want to do $10 a month or $15 a month. Really, you decide. But think about it and then make that call and make that pledge. We're over 50 new friends in for the month. That's great. We're on our way. But if you're not one of them yet, why don't you take care of that little piece of business right now and call 217-244-9455 or go to willag.org. If you use this service, then why don't you think about supporting this service and become one of the friends of the thousands of people who actually already support this service with their dollars. So you're not alone. You'll be joining a great club. And the number, again, is 217-244-9455 here on $5 Friday.
Yeah, $5 Friday. We sure do hope that you take the time right now to dial in because it's important. You know, if you're a user of our service, whether you listen to us on the radio, on one of our many radio stations, you listen to us on the website, you use our online services on demand, our weekend newsletter, you follow Dave Dickey or I on Twitter. All those things are important, and we sure do need your help, especially if you happen to go out to one of our Will Ag panels like we have next week coming up. We'll be out with Mike Zuzulo and Jackie Vakes, in fact, on Wednesday of next week in Belleville. And in Litchfield, and then in Casey, we'll be there on Thursday night.
You're a traveling man, you know that? It just brings up the point, though, Todd, that it takes a lot of people, people doing their part to make this service work so that the information that you want, that you use, the different opinions that you get here on WILL, we think that's important so that you're not just getting one person's viewpoint on the markets and what's going to happen and the outlooks. You get a variety of opinions, and that way you have the information you need to make the best decisions for you and your operation. So that's our goal here. If you find that that's services that you use and that you depend on, now it takes a little bit of your involvement. By maybe $5 a month. That's really all we're asking you to think about right now and make that call and make that pledge of support at 217-244-9455.
Hey, thanks so much. Les Schulte here helping us out this afternoon. Looking forward to your phone call, and we do appreciate it. 217-244-9455. Speaking of the phone calls, we have just gotten hold of Ben Pruce. He's at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. Thanks, Ben, for taking the time with us. What's the weather like today?
Kind of overcast. I get up, check my iPhone in the morning, and it says today's going to be sunny with a high of 31 below, wind chill.
That just makes you feel like getting out of bed, baby.
The parkas just aren't thick enough out here.
Okay, well, I suspect that means that there's not a lot of movement of corn at this point. Is that right?
We're starting to see some corn move through the countryside because basis is starting to firm up out here. The ethanolers in particular are starting to sniff around for some larger volumes of corn, which is good for us. One thing that we're running into, though, is there's a lot of high moisture corn coming out of the bin.
Oh, why do you suppose that is? I thought most of the folks in that part of the world had dryers. Did they just not run them?
It's in our neck of the woods specifically, we don't have a ton of on-farm storage just due to the high saturation of co-ops. You guys have some bins, they put air on them, and honestly, the corn came out at 17 to 19%, and it's at 17% today, and doesn't seem to want to dry up.
Interesting. So what does that cause? Do they get docked very much on that?
If you're running right at 17% corn, you might take a 5 to 8 cent discount at the processor. If it's much over that, they'll just flat reject you. But, it hasn't been too much of an issue. You guys have been able to blend off the corn, but as we get warmer and warmer here, closer to the planting season, it's going to be a continued issue for us, I think.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are 367 cash corn, 953 cash beans.
And expectation for basis to firm or not?
Continues to firm at least into the next 30 days. Be putting hedges in place ahead of planting, is my opinion.
All right. Hey, thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Pruce. He's at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us on the closing market report for this Friday afternoon. It is the 20th day of February. If you have not made your pledge of financial support ever before, this is $5 Friday, looking for brand new friends just like you. 217-244-9455. That's the number to call. Or just go online at willag.org. You'll see the big screen there that says #100. We're looking for 100 folks.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
This, of course, is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Cherry Pie Day. The origin of the day has been lost, but maybe George Washington has something to do with America's second most popular pie. when as a young boy he made his famous quote, "I cannot tell a lie, I chopped down the cherry tree." On this day in agricultural history in 1829, Yingling Brewery on Center Street in Pottsville, Pennsylvania opened. The Eagle Brewery is the oldest still operating in the U.S. In 1872, Cyrus W. Baldwin received a patent for a vertical geared hydraulic electric elevator. It was installed in the Stevens Hotel in New York City. In 1872, Silas Noble and Jay Cooley of Massachusetts were issued a patent on a toothpick manufacturing machine. They set up a factory in Strong, Maine, and machinery was developed to peel blocks of wood into long, thin ribbons. The ribbons were cut into toothpicks, which were moved by pitchfork into the sun to dry like hay. Then they were sorted and packed by hand. In 1873, on this date, Luther Childs Crowell of Cape Cod, Massachusetts, was granted a patent for a machine which made square bottom paper bags. It's still the basic design that's used today. And in 2001, foot and mouth disease ravages livestock in Britain in the worst epidemic since 1967. By March, it has spread to mainland Europe. Millions of animals are destroyed, and the European Union banned export of meat and livestock for weeks. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser with a look at the weather for corn and soybean production in South America. This week's report starts where the weather is least complicated and favorable for crop development. That is Argentina. Temperatures have been running near to below average and rainfall close to average of late. That is perfect weather for crops in the filling stage of development. Only some western production areas are still excessively wet, those in the provinces of San Luis and western Cordoba. The forecast for Argentina remains favorable for crop growth and development in the coming week. Dry and cool weather for this time of year should last into the first part of next week, perfect for filling crops. Showers and thunderstorms are then expected to return by the middle of next week. That will maintain favorably moist conditions for most fields. For now, at least, Argentina's weather is quiet from a crop perspective. In Brazil, the scenario is more complex as the growing season has featured excesses in terms of dryness and wetness. In recent weeks, the extremes have been toned down, with thunderstorms coming to dry areas and breaks in rain to the wettest areas. However, looking ahead, there are signs that some of the prior extremes may try to reemerge. That, of course, is not beneficial to crops. After a couple of weeks of improved rainfall in Bahia, Minas Gerais, Goiás, and Sao Paulo, dry weather has recently returned. It appears that dryness will prevail through at least most of next week. That will allow for rapid soybean harvesting and second crop corn planting. Some showers and thunderstorms may return late next week into the weekend that follows. Frequent showers and thunderstorms are expected through the weekend across much of Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, and Santa Catarina in Brazil and neighboring Paraguay. That will keep field work at a standstill. Paraná, Brazil, and Paraguay have been the wettest of late and are in need of dry weather. A stretch of dry weather is expected during the early to middle portion of next week. It will take a few days of drying before field work can resume. Second crop corn planting is falling behind, so a stretch of dry weather is needed. It appears that might be hard to come by. Forecast models show an increased chance of rain returning late next week and continuing into the week that follows. Later planted corn runs the risk of reaching its critical filling stage after the dry season typically gets underway. That is your South American weather update. I'm meteorologist Ed Kieser.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.